Alright, you guys can't hear what I'm saying. Yeah, what did I just say?
What?
I need to go outside.
You do that. Thanks for the heads up.
Alright, great. So, I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about the Israeli flag. And I want to start off with something that the great Posek, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzedek Livracha, he wrote in his first volume of Tshuva Zigris Moshe. You can go farther away if you don't want to listen. That's fine. Yoni doesn't let people sit next to him, by the way. Don't even try. Don't even try.
There are a couple sods down here.
All right, anyways. So Rav Moshe was asked the following question. I'll just talk to you a bit. So Rav Moshe was asked the following question. He was asked, and he gave a tshuva in his first volume of Or HaChaim, are we allowed to put an Israeli flag in our shul? So he said that he thought it was totally improper to put a flag so unholy in such a holy place. As a matter of fact, he felt that it would be ideal if we could just get rid of this whole flag thing entirely, and that way we could forget the ma'asim of the Rishon. So Rav Moshe is a great, great posek, but I think there might be other angles or another perspective on this whole flag thing, and I want to share an idea that Rav Bregman from Merkaz HaRav mentioned. He made the following point. He raised the question, is there anything Jewish about a flag? Is it totally a goyish thing? Or do we have any flag history to us?
Yeah, in the desert.
Yes, excellent. You got it. You nailed it. B'midbar Perek Mem. Right at the beginning of B'midbar. The whole first section of their B'midbar is Hashem lining up the encampment with the Mishkan in the middle. It's Machane Shechina. Around that was the Machane Levim with the Kohanim Levim. Around that was four groups of three Shvatim, north, south, east, west, right? Very meticulously planned out and placed. Everything had to be in order. And it says explicitly in the Psukim that they had their own flags. So apparently God thought flags were important enough that he made it a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah today, but a mitzvah at that time that they had to be organized around flags. Okay, great. The question is, where do these flags come from? So Rashi points out in Masechet Horio, Davav Amubet, that actually each tribe had a flag which had been designed by his father, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu had sat down, understanding or reflecting upon, thank you so much, reflecting upon the nature of each one of his sons that he loved so much, and he came up with a color and a design, a symbol, that he felt matched each and every son. And that became the color, that became the flag for each and every tribe. Okay? So apparently Yaakov Avinu felt that flags were important, and he spent a good amount of time designing one for each of his sons. But the truth is, that's not where it ends. The Midrash Tanhuma points out that a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself wanted to show each tribe how much he loved them and how special he felt each Shevet was, and therefore he wanted them to have his flags. So apparently it wasn't Yaakov Avinu's own idea. Yaakov was really just the messenger to create this flag for each tribe. What about one unifying national flag? So, lo and behold, we had that too. According to the Ramban, the Pasuk says, and I forgot where it is, but I think it's Perek Yudalad, in Shmot, when the Jews left Mitzrayim. So the Torah says that they left B'Yad Ramah. Now, literally, Yad Ramah, besides being this commentary, you might have heard your rabbi's quote on Sanhedrin all year. So, it literally means a hand held high. The Jews left with a hand held high. Now, shot. The pshat of Yad Ramah means they left with pride, right? They didn't leave as like slaves running away or escaping in the night. They left as proud free men. That's pshat of Yad Ramah. But the Ramban says that it also actually means that they left like this, carrying a flag. And he says that Moshe Rabbeinu designed a national Jewish flag, which would be unbelievably cool if you could buy it on eBay or at least, you know, see it in an archaeological in a museum somewhere. We don't know what it looks like. But he apparently designed one flag for the entire Jewish people. So there you go. Apparently flags were important enough that God told Moshe to give one to each of the groupings around the Mishkan. Yaakov Avinu designed one for each Shevet. Moshe made a design one for the entire Jewish people.
Where did the Star of David come from? Does that have any significance?
Oh, hold on. Good. Very good. Very good. We're headed there. Very good. So at this point, it's very hard to say that the flag is not a Jewish thing. A flag, and we have a very long and beautiful history of flags. So the truth is, if there's any country in the world that should have a flag, I mean, a flag is basically a national symbol to rally around, right? So if there's any nation in the world that should have a flag, it should be the Jews. Why is that? Because we're the only religion that is also a nation. And that's, there are many psukim that indicate that. Mamlechet Kohanim, v'goy kadosh, a kingdom That means like a government, like sovereign entity of Kohanim, Goy, and a nation of Kadosh. The word Am appears around the Jewish people many, many times. Hashem wants us to be not just a religion, but also a people, a nation. And therefore to have a flag would fit in with that idea, would fit in with our history. Now, obviously, nowadays, we don't anymore, unfortunately, know where those flags are, the ones each tribe had, the national one that Moshe found. So it'd be fantastic if someday we turn them up. But in the meantime, I'm gonna make you guys into the first Zionist Congress where they discuss this issue. Or if you want to feel a little more special, you know, a little more recent, you can be the first meeting of the first Knesset. The first Knesset also discussed this. What flag should be the? And I'm gonna ask you, what symbol and what color would you put on a national flag for the Jewish people? Let's start with the symbol. You gotta give me a symbol that speaks to everybody, Jew and non-Jew. It says Jewish people. It's got to be easy. Menorah is fantastic. What is another symbol that is universally recognized as being something Jewish and Jewish pride? We're going to get to colors in a second. We're going to do colors in a second. I'm going to do symbol first. So the Mishkan, what? Okay, good. A dove, as a matter of fact, in Shearing, we're described as a dove. That's kind of a little bit of a newfangled thing as far as being recognized. That's not something I think would have been universally recognized back in the 1910 or something like that. A chai. Okay. That sounds like more of like a chak-chak thing with the, you know, with the chai and the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. I'm in. Is that for me?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai, Eleinu Melech Shalom Kol Hayom Yirah.
Amen.
It's out.
Yeah, go. Shnei Luchot. Okay, good. So we definitely want to get something in there that's going to symbolize for us the idea of the mitzvot. Right? I mean, without that, we're just not talking about the Jewish people anymore. One second, I heard something over here. Yeah, the only problem with that is while maybe some very learned Christians would see that and go, oh, that's like a Jewish people thing. Most Jews would look at that and go, oh, that's a Shevet Levi thing. Right, and you want to get something that's all for all the Shvatim. It's a little more universal, although that is definitely...
It has to be.
Right, in every language of it. Yeah, but that got stolen already by the doctors, so we can't. That got stolen already by the doctors.
Bring it back.
Wait, the Jews. Most of the doctors are Jewish. So that's the symbol of the Jewish doctors worldwide.
What about lawyers?
Yeah.
Like a chicken noodle soup.
Good. Tabachnik.
No, because like non-Jews say, oh yeah, Judaism.
Big pot of chicken soup. Right. Right. You could put like a penny on the flag with a Jew picking it up. Good. You guys really have a lot of pride. Go back to the exile. Get some Jewish pride. All right, great. So obviously you intentionally avoided the issue, but I think that if you look at the words of Moshe, he makes an interesting comment about the Magen David. Moshe Feinstein in his third volume of Orach Chaim, he writes that regardless of the original source of the Magen David, it has been a recognized Jewish symbol for a long, long time. That's how long is the debate, but a very long time. And it's not just, the Ramosha points out that since it has the name of David HaMelech attached to it, it's a symbol, not only the Jewish people, it's like a Jewish symbol, it's a symbol that reminds you, good, of David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, what was he all about? He had enormous faith in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He trusted in God, and therefore he was never afraid of his enemies. Start with Goliath. And his entire career, whenever it came to fighting other nations, he put his trust in God. What a wonderful symbol for a Jewish government to say we want to follow in the footsteps of David HaMelech, and we, even though we're going to have an army, we're going to have all this power, we want to put our faith in God and have a Melech. Melech is a symbol of Malchus, of kingdom, right, of rule, that is in the spirit of David HaMelech. That's a beautiful symbol. That's a powerful, and it's also has universal instant recognition. Magen David.
Well, where did it come from? Do we know where
good.
It like,
came? No, so the truth is I just mentioned that it is shrouded in mystery. No one really knows. When we're done with this, you can Wikipedia.
Like
there's about 14 different possible, yeah. A lot of different. Yeah, you guys debate this. When we're done, you could chew that one up. Don't do it right now. It's tough. You can definitely do it later. It's a fascinating question. But the fact is, for a long time, it's already been recognized as a symbol of David, huh? Well, the assumption is that that was the actual physical shield that David used. But whatever. Good. I got a minute left. But we need another symbol. We need a symbol of Torah and mitzvot. I mean, what are we without mitzvot? That's what makes us unique, is that God charged us in a covenant to keep his mitzvot. So give me something that people would see and go, oh, that symbolizes all the other mitzvot. Luchos is a good answer. But Torah. People would think Ten Commandments. They wouldn't think of mitzvot.
Torah.
Okay, maybe a Torah, but then the Sephardim wouldn't even know what you're looking at. You have to put a Sephardi Torah, then you have to put Ashkenazi Torah.
Both.
Good. So what mitzvah symbolizes all of the mitzvahs?
Tzitzit.
Tzitzit. 100%. 100%. Very good.
But then they know the conservatives have the
Scar Torah. Yeah, I grew up with those. Uritemo to Uskartem. And you know the famous thing Rashi says on the Pasuk, the Tzitzit, 600, 8 strings, 5 knots, 630, great. Clearly, if there's one mitzvah that's supposed to remind you of all the other mitzvahs, it's the, by the way, you would think that the guy who came up with the idea to put the tallest stripes, by the way, tallest stripes were originally blue, probably because they didn't have money, they went for black. That's where the black stripes came from, because it's cheaper, honestly. But originally it was blue, as a reminder of the fact that we don't have tchelis anymore, so at least they put a little stripe of blue. So you would think that like some rabbi, some religious Zionist in the first Zionist Congress is like, oh, we got to put a tallis in there. He's like pushing it. They're like, ah, you're fanatic, shut up. You know who came up with the idea to put the tallis on? The tallest symbol, the two stripes on the flag? It was Herzl. And Wolfson, who was one of the major players, he was a religious guy, religious Zionist. No, just on the strings. But that got lost. So for centuries, they put like a blue stripe on the actual fabric. So that's why it became a... So Wolfson, who was at the first Congress, he said that Herzl argued very strongly to put the two stripes. And they asked him, like, what do you want with these two stripes? He's like, because it looks like a tallis, and that's Jewish. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Herzl, but he was not a man with, like, a Panovich education in Judaism. He didn't have the highest caliber. He had no Jewish education, and he even thought for a short time, we should all just convert and solve the problem by converting to Christianity. But yet, clearly, what do you see? Deep in his heart, he had some penimus and nitzotzot of Kedusha, and when he wanted to design a flag that would symbolize the nation of the Jews with national pride, he thought tallis, mitzvot. Unbelievable. What's the last thing to figure out? That's the color. What color would you choose? Now, before I ask you what color would you choose, we are here with a specific mission that no other nation has. Our job is to bring God into the world. That's called Shekhinah. Shekhinah, God in the world is called Shekhinah. We are here to create, through the keeping of the mitzvot, and through our actions, a hashra'at shekhinah, bringing God to the world. What color symbolizes the shekhinah?
Well, you already have a color, because you said if we're using kali as the background.
Right, right.
It's already blue.
Good. So that's a good point. So it is a little redundant at this point to ask it. Right.
Yeah.
But it's just, you're right, it's augmenting that assumption that would be
so
the color.
Like,
okay. He's so smart.
Well, very good. You have a good point. You have a good point, yeah. Good, good. But where does that come? That actually comes from Zagor and Sotan. It's also Midrash. That when you look at the tzitzit, you're reminded of the sea, which reflects the color of the sky, which reflects the color of the Kisei HaKavod. Now, how do we know that the Kisei HaKavod is blue?
What?
Kisei HaKavod is close enough. That's good enough. So Techelet is God's color. It's the symbol of the Shekhinah. How do we know? By the way, no joke. There's a difference. There's a difference in God's Kisei HaKavod. His Kisei HaKavod is our metaphorical language for God sitting in government and judgment over the world. Because when we want to talk about God's essence, we don't know what we're talking about, so we don't talk. When we want to talk about God running the world and being powerful, we view him as a king. We talk about his Kisei HaKavod. His Kisei HaKavod is blue. We know it because it's explicit pasuk. It says there that when they saw Kodesh Baruch Hu, they saw under his feet, whatever that means, Kelivnatz up here, a sapphire brickwork. Meaning when they had an image of God, and this thing appears in other places, this is in the Chumash, but this place is in other places in Navi, that the symbolic color of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is sapphire, is light blue, is sky blue. So if you want to tell the world, we are here, through our actions, to bring God into the world, what color are you going to use? You're going to use blue, light blue, yeah.
What happened
Yeah.
It's the greatness of God, the regal seed of God. Purple's even made up of blue on red. So you do have the blue in there, but then you have also the regal seed of the
Yeah, okay, so the truth, you made a good point. There are three royal colors that were used in the Mishkan. They were Techelet, Shani, which is a scarlet, and Argaman, which is probably purple. There's a debate about it. The truth is, any one of those three would have been symbolic of the Mishkan, of royalty, of God, sovereignty, 100%. I think because the Torah explicitly mentions Techelet, one on the tzitzit, to remind you, and also mentions it by the sapphire brickwork, in the vision of God, that's the one that's closestly identified with God's Shekhinah directly. Not that the purple and scarlet don't have their... yeah. And last comment here. Yeah. Yes, very good. Same idea. Excellent. Excellent. The first one. Right. No, regular stone.